We're starting here at the bottom of Kuf Bet in My Bet by the two dots. Kufa. Gemara now is going to go back to discuss what we saw at the end, the opinions of Abaye and Rava. Abaye, who says that the order when Yom Tov Shechal Yot Achar Shabbat turns out is Yak Zina, and Rava, who says it's Yak Nahaz, like our practice, which we'll see in the Gemara. Now, just as a little background to the Gemara, we're going to begin with the Machloket here between Rav and Shmuel. We're going to go through all the opinions here, but Rav and Shmuel's opinion is really the two pivotal opinions in the sugya. Everybody else basically follows them with different permutations on their shitot. Rav's shito is that Kiddush should come before Havdalah. That when you're coming in from Shabbat into Yom Tov, that the Kiddush should precede Havdalah. And that is because if you were to make Havdalah first, it would make it look like Shabbat is a masui, is a burden on you, and you're trying to rid yourself of the Shabbat. So in order to extend the Shabbat out, we make Havdalah second, or after Kiddush. And therefore, we make Kiddush first. Also, Kiddush Hayom is Adifa Me'Havdalah, which is the removal of Kiddusha. So the Kiddush, or being Mikadesh something, is more important, or something that we would give priority to or precedence to, and therefore it comes before Havdalah. So that's Rav's basic opinion, that Kiddush should precede Havdalah. Now, most of the opinions that we're going to see in the Amoraim follow this principle that Kiddush comes before Havdalah. They follow this position of Rav, including Abaye and Rava, who we saw in yesterday's daf. On the other hand, Shmuel believes the opposite, that Havdalah should precede Kiddush. And that is because you first are Melaveh the Melech that's going out, that's Shabbat, the Melech that's leaving, Lifnei She Machnisim Et HaFarkus. Farkus is the minister, the person that is of a lower stature than the king. So Shabbat, which is the king, you first are Melaveh, you accompany the king out, that's Havdalah. And then you make Kiddush to deal with Yom Tov, which is something of a lesser Kiddusha. And therefore, Shmuel believes that Havdalah comes before Kiddush. In addition, on a normal Motzei Shabbat, we follow the opinion of Beit Hillel that you first make the bracha al hayayin, then we make a bracha on the bisamim, then we make a bracha on the ner, and then we make the bracha of Havdalah. Now, as far as bisamim is concerned, as the Rashbam notes here, none of the Amoraim address the issue of bisamim, which makes it clear that they think when Yom Tov falls out, Achara Shabbat, that there is no din of bisamim in Havdalah. The Rashbam says the reason is because we have an Neshama Yetera on Shabbat, and the reason we smell the Bisamim on Motzei Shabbat is to lighten the burden of that loss or the pain of that loss of the Neshama Yetera. But since we also have an Neshama Yetera on Yom Tov, there is no such feeling or loss that happens between Shabbat and Yom Tov. And for that reason, the Rashbam says there's no Bisamim on Motzei Shabbat that leads into a Yom Tov. Tosafot does not like that reasoning, especially for the fact that if it's really true that you have a Neshama Yetera on Shabbat and then a Neshama Yetera on Yom Tov, then when you lose the Neshama Yetera after Yom Tov, then you should have Bisamim in the Havdalah that's post-Yom Tov, and we don't have that. A post-Yom Tov Havdalah is simply Bori Priya Gofen and Hamavdil. So for that reason, Tosafot believes that's incorrect, and the reason that we don't have Bisamim on Motzei Shabbat leading into Yom Tov is because, yes, we have lost the Neshama Yetera, but nevertheless, we have the excitement, the happiness of Simchat Yom Tov, the Achila and Shtiyah of Simchat Yom Tov, and that mitigates the feelings of pain over the loss of the Neshama Yetera. So instead of using Bisamim, we have Simchat Yom Tov to fill that void. For that reason, Bisamim is completely absent in all of this discussion. So now you have to have one of the two opinions. Again, it's like either like Rav, where you believe Kiddush comes before Havdalah, or like Shmuel, where Havdalah comes before Kiddush. The remaining permutations deal with what do you do with Yayin and Ner? What do you do with the Bori Priya Gofen, and what do you do with the Bracha al Ner? And we'll go through each of the opinions to explain how they view it. So we'll start out, Yom Tov Shechal Yot Achar Shabbat, Rav Amar. Rav says the order is Yayin, Kiddush, Ner, and Havdalah. Yayin first, because it's Tadir, and therefore Tadir should go first. Like Beit Hillel says by Kiddush, because again, Rav says Kiddush comes before Havdalah, and Beit Hillel believes that Yayin comes before Kiddush on Erev Shabbat. And so too over here, we're going into Yom Tov, the Yayin will precede the Kiddush. The Ner is between the Kiddush and the Havdalah, because that is the order of Havdalah on a regular Motzei Shabbat. We'd have Yayin, Ner, and then Havdalah. So the Yayin, we have to move up in front of the Kiddush, because the Kiddush is taking precedence here. It's first, and we want to put the Yayin before that. So we have Yayin, then Kiddush. Then we follow the normal structure of Havdalah. So we have Ner, And then we have Havdalah at the end, which is the after the Kiddush, but also at the end, because that's normally where it's placed within the context of Havdalah. And that's the opinion of Rav. On the other hand, Shmuel says, Shmuel Amar Yanhak. Yanhak is Yayin near Havdalah and Kiddush. So this is Shmuel Ushitato, who says that Havdalah goes before Kiddush. And then he has, well, if Havdalah goes before Kiddush, the entire Havdalah goes before Kiddush. The entire Havdalah consisting of what Havdalah looks like on a regular Motzei Shabbat. So that means that you're going to have Yayin, then Ner, then Havdalah. Again, Samim being absent, but then you do Yayin, Ner, and Havdalah. And after you finish with Havdalah, you move on to Kiddush, because you're Malaveh the Melech of Shabbat out, and then you bring in the Farkus of Kiddush of the Yom Tov after that. So that's the opinion of Rav, that's the opinion of Shmuel. V'Rabba. Now Rabba says over here, our Girsa and our Gemara is Rabba. The Rashbam believes that the Girsa should be Levi. And one of the reasons that he thinks it's true is because Rav Shmuel and Levi are peers,
contemporaries,
live around the same time, and usually their memorot would be quoted in a single grouping, and Levi is the next individual that comes up in the sugya, and therefore he thinks that it should be Levi here and not Rabba. Tosafot rejects that reasoning,
because he says that the Gemara is ordering these opinions based on what they say is the first item in each of these acronyms. First grouping has Yayin as the first item, the next grouping has Kiddush as the first item, and the last grouping has Ner as their first item.
But he does say, as the Rashbam says as well, that Yerushalmi seems to indicate that this is the opinion of Levi. So we'll follow that opinion, that this is Levi's opinion. Levi Amar Yehanak. Now Yehanak, according to Levi, or Rabba, the way we have in our Gemara, he holds like Shmuel, that Havdalah precedes Kiddush. His only difference is where the Yayin and the Ner fit. Yayin in the beginning because of Tadir Kodim, Havdalah afterwards because Havdalah has to precede the Kiddush, and the Ner is in between Havdalah and the Kiddush. The reason being, Lafsik ben Havdalah the Kiddush, to put a separation between Havdalah and Kiddush, similar to what Rav did, even though here he's holding like Shmuel, that Havdalah comes before Kiddush. He liked this idea that Rav had, put the Ner in between Havdalah and Kiddush, in order to be Mafsik, because one of them is Ma'at Kiddusha, the Havdalah, and one of them is Marbe Kiddusha, is the Kiddush. So he wanted to put a little separation between them, we put the Ner in between. So therefore the Yayin is in the beginning, because it's Tadir, that's normal Seder Havdalah. Then you have Havdalah. Then Ner, to separate between Havdalah and Kiddush. And then Kiddush at the end, because Havdalah must precede the Kiddush. That's the opinion of Rabba and Argamar, or Levi according to the Rashbam. And then the next opinion is Levi and Argamara, or Rabba according to the Rashbam. Amar Kniyah. Now, so Levi holds like Rav. Levi says like Rav that Kiddush precedes Havdalah, but now he has the setup be a little different, which is, first of all, he makes Kiddush first, because otherwise it looked like a burden if you were throwing the Shabbat out, so Havdalah is going to be after Kiddush. As far as the Ner and the Yayin set up, he has it set up, Ner, and then Yayin. He puts the Yayin next to Havdalah to indicate that the Yayin is relevant to the Havdalah, because the Iker Havdalah is ala Yayin, according to the Rashbam, because for Kiddush, you can make it a la pot, and it doesn't have to be Yayin. Tosafot brings the Rabbeinu Tam, who later on thinks that you cannot necessarily make Kiddush a la pot. And he says, therefore, they want to put Yayin next to Havdalah, so you don't think that the Yayin is relevant to the Kiddush, and not to the Havdalah. So in order to make sure that the Yayin is close to Havdalah, to show that the Yayin is relevant to the Havdalah, we want to put the Yayin as close as possible to the Havdalah. And therefore, the Ner gets bumped back, because if he had put the Ner between Yayin and Havdalah, then it would make it look like the Yayin belongs to Kiddush and not to Havdalah. So therefore we put the Ner before the Yayin. So because of that, he holds like Rav that Kiddush comes before Havdalah. He just moves the Yayin closer to Havdalah to show the relevance of Yayin to Havdalah and not just being Yayin for Kiddush. That's the opinion of Levi. The Rabbanan Amre Kino. Rabbanan again subscribed to Rav's position, which is that Kiddush in the beginning, Havdalah at the end. But as opposed to Levi or Rabba, according to the Rashbam, they flip around the Yayin and the Ner. They have Kiddush first, because that's the most important thing. Then they put the Yayin after the Kiddush to put it closer to Havdalah, so it has relevance for Havdalah, and to separate between Kiddush and Havdalah, as well as the fact that now it makes Havdalah have the normal Seder of Motzei Shabbat, of Yayin, Ner, and then Havdalah, according to the Rabbanan. And the Ner is in place like it is in every other Motzei Shabbat, and also to act as a mafsik between Kiddush and Havdalah. The Yayin and the Ner function as a buffer between Kiddush and Havdalah. And then you have the Yayin and the Ner Havdalah, which is the normal layout on a regular Motzei Shabbat. That's the opinion of the Rabbanan. Mar Berei Rav Ano also subscribes to the position of Rav, that Kiddush comes before Havdalah. But he says, Nikiya, Ner, Kiddush, Yayin, and Havdalah. So he takes Ner out and puts it all in the beginning, so that it will not be a hefsek between Havdalah and Kiddush. That's number one. Number two is the Ner goes first because Shenene Bo Tchila. That's the first thing that a person gets benefit from, and therefore you want to make a brach on it. And that's why Ner comes before Havdalah on Motzei Shabbat. And so over here, Ner will come before Kiddush, according to Mar Berei Rav Ano. So Ner will be first, so there won't be any hefsek between the Yayin and Havdalah. And also because of this region, Nenu Bo Tchila, therefore goes in the beginning. Kiddush is next. Then Yayin, you put the Yayin in between the Kiddush and Havdalah, number one, to show its relevance to Havdalah. That's why the Yayin is next or juxtaposed to the Havdalah. And it's also next to the Kiddush to show that it is relevant to the Kiddush as well. In addition, Yayin goes before Havdalah on Motzei Shabbat. So to hear, the Yayin goes before Havdalah. That's the position of Mar Berei de Rav Ano, again, who subscribes to Rav's position as well. Then Marta Amar Mishmei de Rabbi Yoshua Nihak. So he now changes this. We have this new grouping here. Mar Berei Rav Ano started it, which is that they all begin with Ner. Rav Yeshua ben Hananya holds like Shmuel, who says that Havdalah goes before Kiddush. And therefore he says that Ner goes first because Shenene Bo Tchila. And therefore it should go before Havdalah, it should go before Kiddush. And in addition to that, Ner is independent of the Kos of Havdalah. You can make a bracha on Ner completely independent of the Kos of Havdalah. And so for that reason, Ner goes first. Kiddush is at the end because he wants to have Havdalah before Kiddush. So you have Ner in the beginning, Kiddush at the end, and then in the middle we have Havdalah, and then Yayin. The Yayin's in between the Kiddush and Havdalah in order that it have relevance to both the Kiddush and the Havdalah. So basically he has the same setup as Mar Berei Rav Ano, but he just holds like Shmuel instead of Rav. So Mar Berei Rav Ano holds like Rav, has Kiddush go before Havdalah around the wine, and Rav Yeshua ben Hananya has Havdalah go before Kiddush around the wine. And then we have the last opinion, which is Marta Amar Mishmei de Rabbi Yeshua Nihak. So again, he has the beginning with Ner, and he holds like Shmuel that Havdalah goes before Kiddush. He just moves up the Yayin before the Havdalah in order to have it right next to or juxtaposed to the Havdalah, and to have it as the same setup as you would have on a normal Motzei Shabbat. So therefore, he has Ner, Yayin, Havdalah, and Kiddush. So if you look at the layout now, we have Rav and Shmuel, and then Rabbah, or according to the Rashbam Levi, who all have opinions that begin with Yayin. And that's why they're put together, and that's one of the claims of Tosafot as to why the Rashbam may not be right about switching it around to Levi. Had it not been for the Yerushalmi to say because Rav and Shmuel and Levi are all connected, because here the reason they're paired together is because they all begin with Yayin. Then we have the opinion of Levi and Argamar Rabbah according to the Rashbam, and the Rabbanu will say it begins with Kiddush. And then we have the latter three opinions, which is Mar Berei de Rav Ano, Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, and Marta Mishmei de Rabbi Yeshua, who all believe that it begins with Ner. These are all the different opinions that we have. Then Shalach Avuah de Shmuel, the father of Shmuel, sent the Rabbi. Avuah de Shmuel is one of those people that sits at the bridge between the time of the Tanaim and the time of the Amoraim. Shmuel is an Amora. Rabbi, who is one of the last of the Tanaim, he's a Talmud of his. Yilam Deinu Rabbeinu, Seder Havdalot Heach. How is the proper way to do Havdalah? Shalach Lei, Kach Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Rabbi Yossi. This is what I have in Mesorah from Shmuel Bar Rabbi Yossi. Shamar Mishum Aviv, said in the name of his father, Rabbi Yossi. Shamar Mishum Rabbi Shua Ben Hananya, said in the name of Rabbi Shua Ben Hananya. Nahik, the layout should be Ner, then Havdalah, Yayin, and Kiddush. They have Havdalah before Kiddush, like the position of Shmuel. You have Ner in the beginning, and Yayin in between the two of them, like the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya. Amar Rabbi Chanina, Mashal de Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya. What is this opinion of Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya similar to? What's a parable for it? The Melech Shiyotze, Farkus Nichnas, the king is leaving, and the minister or the official is coming in. Melavin et Melech, first you accompany the king out, and then afterwards you go out to greet this person who's of a lesser stature than the king. For that reason, he believes that you should have Havdalah first and then Kiddush later. And that's how the opinion of Shmuel develops. As we said before, the Rabbi Shua ben Hananya, Rabbi Hanina, Shmuel, as well as Marta Mishmei, the Rabbi Yoshua, and the opinion of what's called Rabba and our Gemara, or Levi according to the Rishbam, all follow that position of Shmuel, that Abdullah comes before Kiddush. My Havayala, what's the Alocha? So Abai Amar Yak Zina, but Rabba Amar Yak Nahas. So Abai and Rava here argue about it. Now, Abai and Rava add in an additional dimension here, which is Zman, the Brach of Shechianu. And in truth, Abai and Rava both subscribe to the position of Rav. They have the exact same setup as Rav, which is Yakna, Yain, Kiddush, Nir, and Havdalah. The only question for them is, where does Zman, the Brach of Shechianu, go? Abai says the Brach of Shechianu goes immediately after Kiddush, because Zman is coming because of the Kiddush. It's not coming because of Havdalah, it's coming because of the Kiddush. And it's connected to the Kiddush Hayom, the new Kiddush of the day. That's where Shechianu is connected. And like any other Yom Tov, it was a regular Yom Tov. After you make Kiddush, you'd make the Brach of Shechianu. And therefore, for Abaye, you have Yayin first, then Kiddush, then Zman Shechianu, then Ner, and then Havdalah. So exactly like Rav, he just inserts Zman Shechianu right after Kiddush. And again, Rav doesn't address the issue of Shechianu, so this is Abaye saying this is where he thinks Rav would put Zman. On the other hand, Rovo believes that it's Yak Nahaz, which is our practice, that it's Yayin, Kiddush, Nir, and Abdullah, just like Rav, and then Zman, and Brach of Shechianu at the end, because like every other Yom Tov, when you make, on any other Yom Tov, you make a Borei Pri HaGafen, you make Kiddush, and then you make a Shechianu at the end of Kiddush. In addition to that, because the Brach of Shechianu is independent of Kiddush, because one can make a Shechianu even the Shuk. If you're not going to make Kiddush, you can make a Shechianu anytime, because of the Kedusha of Yom Tov, so it's not necessarily related or correlated to the Kiddush, and therefore he puts Zman all the way at the end. And the Gemara concludes, V'hilcha took a Rava. The Halacha is like Rava, which is our practice to do it like Yak Nahaz. So Rashi points out that if it was just about the Machloka between Abai and Rava, then we wouldn't need the Gemara to tell us Hilcha took a Rava, because we know that. The Halacha is like Rava, Chutz Miyal Kagam. So that certainly is not the reason here to have Hilcha to Rava. Hilcha to Rava has come to the exclusion of the other Amoraim here. Because Rava subscribes to that position of Rav, therefore now we have the position of Rav being upheld by Rava, and Halacha is like Rava in that way, just with the addition of Shechianu at the end, when there is a Brach of Shechianu. Vuna bar Yehuda ikla lebei Rava. He went to the house of Rava. Aiti lekamayu meor ubisamim. They brought before them a light on Motzei Shabbat and bisamim and spices. Baruch Rava bisamim bereisha. Made the bracha on the b'samim first, v'hadra ma'or, and then afterwards on the torch or the candlelight that was there, similar to what we do, b'samim before the oraner amalei. So he says to him, Rava, I don't understand what you did over here. V'ha ben beit shemayu ben beit hilal. Whether you're talking about the opinion of beit shemayu or beit hilal, ma'or b'reisha v'hadra b'samim. The candle goes first, and then the b'samim, the borei morei esh goes first, and then the bracha a borei minei b'samim goes afterwards. Amahi, where does he know that from? That's not. Beit Shammai Omrim. Beit Shammai says the order is, and this is in a case where he finished up a meal at the same time that it's Abdullah. So he wants the bench as well. So then he, ner, mazon, birkat mazon, b'samim, and then Abdullah. O Beit Shammai Omrim, ner u'b'samim, u'mazon v'abdullah. So ner and b'samim go first, birkat mazon, and then Abdullah at the end. So they move around where mazon is found, whether it's found towards the beginning, or it's found towards Havdalah's side of it. But they both agree that Ner goes before B'samim. So Rava, why were you making a bracha on B'samim first, and then on the Ner? Ani Rava Batrei, Rava responded to him, V'amar, Zo Divrei Rabbi Meir, that Mishnah that you just brought is the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Of Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Lo Nechluku Beit Shammai Beit Hilal Amazon Shu B'tchila. They don't argue about the fact that Mazon goes in the beginning. Val Abdullah Shibasof, and Abdullah goes to the end. Amah Nechluku, what is the Machloket about? Amor Val B'samim. Beit Shammai Omrim Maor V'Chakakach B'samim. He says Maor and then B'samim. Tel Omrim B'samim V'Chakakach Maor. He said the B'samim go first, and then the Maor. Ve'amir Rabbi Yochanan Nagu Am Kebeit Hillel V'Alibid Rabbi Yehuda. The practice of the people is according to Beit Hillel, according to Rabbi Yehuda's explanation, which is that the Mazon goes first, and the Abdullah goes last, and that the Ma'or comes after the B'samim. First B'samim, and then Ma'or. And that's the way we have a practice in our Havdalah. Obviously, we're not making Birkat HaMazon, but we're making Borei Pri HaGafen, then Borei Minei B'samim, then Borei Moreish, and then Havdalah. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan says over here. The Minag Ha'am is Kebeit Hillel, V'Libud Rabbi Yehuda. But it means that it's Minag Ha'am. Tosafot mentions the Gemara's in other places. That means Minhag is something that we might recommend, but we will not enforce it if you do not follow this procedure or this halacha. because there is latitude in the practice. Now the Gemara continues, Rav Yaakov bar Ava, Ikvla Bei Rava. We have a new visitor at Rava's house. Before it was Rav Huna bar Yehuda. Now we have Rav Yaakov bar Ava, Ikvla Bei Rava. Chazia de Barich, Bari Priyagofen, Akasakama. So I made a bracha, Bari Priyagofen, his first cup of wine at the meal. Vahada Barich Akasa de Birkata, and then he made a bracha, Bari Priyagofen, after he finished benching. Vishte, and then he drank it. Samalei, Lamalach, Kulei Hai. Why did you make another bracha now? How baruch lan mar chada zimna? Didn't you already make a bari pigafin in the beginning of the meal? Why are you making a bari pigafin after benching? Amalei Rava responds to him, Kavina beirish galuta chavdina. When we were at the house of the exilarch, that's our practice. We made more than one bracha on the wine. Now the way the Rishbam reads it is that in the meal, they used to make more than one bracha. That if they brought out more wine, they'd make another bracha, and then we're extrapolating from that. Tosfot says he doesn't think that that's the case, because it seems from Rava's statement that he's bringing the case from the exilarch to match up with what his practice was here. And therefore he says that at the exilarch's house also, they used to make an additional bracha for the kos of Birkat HaMazon, similar to here. Amalei Tinach Beirish Galuta. So Yaakov Rav says, and wait a minute, the Beirish Galuta, the Hochi Avid. It makes sense that they made a new Mori Piragaf, and there, the Suffolk Maitilan, Suffolk Lo Maitilan. You have no idea whether they're going to bring out more wine or not bring out more wine. So you don't necessarily have your dot on that wine. So since there was a certain amount of uncertainty as to whether we would get a kos, according to the Rashbam, whether we would get more drinks during the meal, or according to Tosafot, at the end, in Birkat HaMazon, they knew they'd bring out a cup for Birkat HaMazon, but only for the Mevarech. For anybody else, they weren't sure if they're going to bring out a cup. And therefore, they made a new bracha. But in our case over here, hacha, hamanach kasa kaman. Over here, we have the post in front of us, and we know you're going to make the bracha on the Birkat HaMazon, but datin yilaveh. So Amalei Rava says back to him, ana avdei ketalmidei derav. I follow the position of the Talmidim of Rav. The Rav Brona, Rav Hanano, who were Talmidim of Rav, Havuyat Vevesudoto, they were in a meal. Kai Alayhu Rav Yeva Sava. So Rav Yeva Sava was being mishamesh them, taking care of them, servicing them during the meal. Amaleu Havlan Venivrech. They said, we're ready to bench, give us the wine to bench. The Sof Amalei Havlan Venishte. They changed their mind. They said, oh, we want to drink some more. Amalu, hachi amar Rav. This is what Rav said. Kevin damritu havlan v'nevarech. Itzachalu hulu mishte. Once you say havlan v'nevarech, you can't drink anymore. My time. Oh, what's the reasoning? Das chitu dataychu. You had hesech adat from eating. That breaks the bracha that you had made before. And since it breaks the bracha that you made before, you have to now make a new bracha if you want to drink. Now, what's very interesting about this Gemara over here is the idea of terminating a su'uda. That a person says, Havlan v'nevarech, that terminates the su'uda, at least what it seems like from the Pashtut of our Gemara. The problem is that we have a Gemara in Brachot, Taf, Membet, and also in Chulin,
Pei,
Chavav, that discuss the fact that Mayim Achronim has to be Netila, Tekef, Lebracha, and most of the Rishonim, a lot of Rishonim view that as being Mayim Achronim, that Mayim Achronim have to be juxtaposed to the Bracha Birkat HaMazon. And therefore, the Rishonim deal with the issue here, which is, what's the difference between Havlan V'Nevarech and washing Mayim Achronim? So actually, there are three general approaches within the Rishonim. It turns out Rashi himself is soter himself in different places, but the basic approach is the one of the Rashi and the Rashbam. Rashi and the Rashbam have the similar opinion. That's Rashi here, the Rashbam here, as well as Rashi in Brachot. Rashi in Chulin has a different opinion that matches with the next set of Rishonim that we're going to mention. But their opinion is that there's actually no difference between Havlan v'Nevarech and washing Netilat Yadayim, Netilat Mayim Achronim. And that is, one of them is an active way to terminate the meal by washing Yadayim, and the other one is a verbal way to terminate the meal, Havlan v'Nevarech. And once you've done either of these two items, you are mafsik, you ended the meal, you must bench, and then you can make a new bracha rishona if you want to eat something. But that's it. You don't have a choice now to restart the meal or to re-enter the meal. You are done at that point. On the other hand, we have the opinion of the Rif, the Rosh, as well as Rashi and Chulin, as well as the Ran, which is that there's actually a difference. When washed washes Mayim Achronim, that is the beginning of Birkat HaMazon, Tekef L'Netila Bracha, and one must bench. Once you wash Netilat Mayim Achronim, you must bench, you can't get out of it, you can't decide to stop or do anything else, you must go ahead with the benching at that point in time, and if you want to eat something new afterwards, you'll have to make a new bracha. On the other hand, the case with Havlan v'Nevarech, which is found in our Gemara over here, that constitutes a hesach hadat, like it says in the Gemara, that's a hesach hadat. That hesach hadat does not obligate you to make a bracha achrona, but will obligate you to make a new bracha rishona if you want to continue to eat. So if you said, let's bench, and then all of a sudden you decide you want to eat more, then you'd have to make a new bracha rishona to continue to eat. Now, this is pointed out in the Halacha and the Mishbru and others, that this only refers to the Baal HaBayit. It's only a person who's really in charge, who can dictate what's happening. Does it matter if they say Havlan v'Nevarech? If somebody at the table says Havlan v'Nevarech, it's not really over, because it's more posed like a question that they're asking for the approval or the acquiescence of the parents or the Baal HaBayit. The Baal HaBayit says Havlan v'Nevarech, since he's in that control, then it's already considered to be the termination of the meal, and have this in as would only require one to make a new bracha rishona, but not to have a full-fledged benching. And that would be the difference between Mayim Achronim and Havlan v'Nevarech. Again, it only applies to the leader of the household, who is the one who can make such a decision, and then his decision will be binding on himself, as well as the others who are partaking the meal, who are relying on him to make those types of decisions. The last opinion is brought by the Rabbeinu Yonah, the Raivud, and some of the other Rishonim, which is that there's a difference between Achila and Lechem. Gemara in Brachot and Chulin that talks about Tekev Netila Bracha, that the Netila at Mayim Achronim generates the necessity for Birkat HaMazon. That's when you're talking about Lechem. That's when you're talking about a full-fledged Se'uda. In that case, the Mayim Achronim will terminate the Se'uda. On the other hand, in our Gemara over here, it's talking about a case of Shtia, of drinking. In Havlan v'Nevarech, does terminate the bracha of drinking in the meal, as here in our Gemara, it's being in a case of drinking, and therefore you would have to make a new bracha rishona as far as drinking is concerned. But for lechem, lechem never terminates until you bench the lechem of the suda, even if you take away the table, no matter what you do, it does not end the suda until you wash mayim achronim, you do something active to move into the benching, or do mayim achronim, which is really the beginning of the benching process, according to this. So they split the sugya by saying that one is talking about shtiyah and one's talking about lechem. So here you have three different approaches to the sugyot, Rashi and the Rishbam, who basically say that the sugyot are identical, and that both ideas produce the same outcome, which is both mayim achronim and havlan v'nevarech produce the same outcome. On the other hand, the Rif and the Rosh, and the other Rishonim, Rabbi Yehuda Yonah Raivud, who differentiate between Shtia and Lechem, those Rishonim who differentiate between Mayim Achronim and Havlan v'Nevarech, reconcile the Sugyot by saying that the two Sugyot are speaking about different things. The Rif and the Rosh say that Mayim Achronim is talking about the absolute termination of the meal, you must bench afterwards, whereas the Gemara over here is talking about, if you were Mafsik over here, you would have to make a new Bracha Rishona, but not bench. On the other hand, the Rabbeinu Yonah Raivud differentiated by saying that our case of here is talking about shtia. Havlan v'Nevarech is enough to say that the shtia is terminated, and you'd have to make a new bracha rishona. On the other hand, for lechem, and for the main part of the suda, then Havlan v'Nevarech will have no impact on it, because it's not strong enough to terminate the suda, whereas washing mayim achronim would have an impact and terminate the suda.
Halacha, the Shulchan Aruch brings down both the opinion of the Rosh and the Rabbeinu Yonah. The Mishnah Brura mentions that many of the Achronim believe that Mayim Achronim or Netilat Yadayim has the same din as Havlan v'Nevarech, and you simply have to make a new bracha Rishona afterwards. But the Be'er Halacha mentions that for sure you should be Machmir and bench after you have washed your hands. And even in the case of Havlan v'Nevarech, Be'er Halacha writes later on, V'alkorach lo nuchal lechriya ledina bazeh, since there are so many opinions here, better to be careful not to eat after one has said Havlan v'Nevarech, davi safek bracha, because you end up with a safek bracha and it's not worthwhile. So after you've said Havlan v'Nevarech, better to bench than to put yourself in a position where you're uncertain, depending on which of the Rishonim that you follow, as to whether you have to make a new bracha, whether you have to bench, or whether you can continue eating without doing anything at all.
So you see from this that Birkat HaMazon is considered to be a hefsek. Because even if you just say Havlan v'Nevarech, it's a hefsek, and if it's a hefsek, then you definitely have to make a new Bari Priya Gofen when it comes to the kos of Birkat Mazon that you're doing after Birkat HaMazon. So you see that benching is enough of a hefsek or hesach hadat to generate a new bracha of Bari Priya Gofen. That was the practice of Robo following these Talmidim of Rav. Meimar Marzutra of Ashi of Yatve Besudo, they were sitting at a meal. Rosh Bam says it was a weekday meal. And Rav Acha Brei de Rava was being mishamesh them. Amemar barichokol kasa v'kasa. Amemar made a bracha bori v'gafen every cup of wine that he had. Azutra barcha kasa kama v'kasa bacha. He made a bracha on the first kos of yain and on the last kos of yain, which is similar to what Rava had done before. He made a bori v'gafen in the beginning, and then he made a bori v'gafen after benching at the end. Vashi barach akasa kama v'tulo barach. Vashi made a bracha on the first cup of wine and then make a bracha from then on, even through the termination of the meal with the pirkat amazon ala yain. And Tosfot says something interesting from what you see from Avashi, that he only made a bracha on the first kos, and that means he didn't make a bracha on the kos of Birkat Hamazon, that he says, Mashmo dechol devar mitzvah ton kos, ein tzarich levarach bar yagafen heichot ulavi hefsek. Anything that is a bracha ala kos, if you don't have a hefsek there, then you don't need to make a new bar yagafen. Bim tomar im kein amay mevarachim bekos sheni shachar agada bar yagafen. If that's the case, why do we make a bari priya guffin on the cup that we drink on the night of the Seder after Haggadah? We drink the first cup of Kiddush, second cup after the Haggadah and the first half of Hallel. And then we put the third cup you drink for Birkat HaMazon and the last cup of wine on the final part of Hallel. So Tosfot says, if you made a bari priya guffin in the beginning, why am I making another bari priya guffin? But here we make a bracha bari priya guffin by Kiddush. Why doesn't that cover the wine that I'm also going to eat after the Haggadah? So Tosfot says, well, maybe the Haggadah is a hefsek because of the bracha of Asher Ga'alnu. So that bracha Asher Ga'alnu creates a hefsek, but then he runs into a problem because that's a hefsek. Then how do you really have Kiddush b'makom suda? Make Kiddush at the beginning of the Arba Kosot. It says, "Mikom makom chashiv Kiddush b'makom suda, delinyan zelo chashiva goda hefsek." God, it's not of a hefsek to ruin the Kiddush b'makom suda. By the priest, Davi Agoda Hefsek, Tzarkle Varcha Akari Yerukarot, Bari Nefashot. But if the Agoda is a hefsek, then you would have to make a bracha chrono over the vegetables that we ate at the beginning of the meal. Our practice is to eat less than a shi'ur that requires a bracha achrona. Otherwise, according to Tosafot, you would require a bracha achrona over here. Gam near the v'rei chachar kol arba kosot ala gefen. You should say ala gefen after all the four kosot. Chutz mikos sheni asmoch l'suda. Except for the second cup, which is right before shulchan orech. And therefore, you wouldn't have to make a ala gefen. But for the first, third, and fourth, you would have to make a bracha ala gefen. And if you make a bari priya gafen for birkat erusin and a bracha bari priya gafen for the birkat nisuin, for each one of those brachot separately, you'd have to make an ala hagefen v'al priya gefen. So now the Gemara is going to discuss these three opinions that we just saw. Amar lahu, Rav Acha bar Rava, Rava who was the one that was servicing them as the shamash. Ana kaman navid, who should I hold like? Amei marmar. Ano nimlach ano. Amemar explains, my position is that I thought that I wasn't going to have another cup of wine. I kept thinking that was my last cup, and then I kept having more. So each time I changed my mind, I had to make a new brocha because it was mesiach dat from the one before. I'm doing what the Talmidei Rav did, which was we mentioned before, that Mar Zutra's practice of making the bracha on the first kos and then on the last kos being on benching was similar to that practice of Rava that we saw earlier. And Rava said that he was following the position of the Talmidim de Rav. So over here, that's Mar Zutra's opinion, follows that position of the Talmidim of Rav. Rashi Amar Leitil Chataka Talmidei de Rav. Rashi says, Allah is just not like the Talmidim of Rav. Ha Yom Tov Shechal Yot Achar Shabbat. Because we have a case when Yom Tov falls out of Shabbat, V'amar Rav Yakno. And we know that Rav says that you make a bracha of Yain, Kiddush, Ner, and Havdalah. The way the Rashbam reads it is that we don't see that the Kiddush and the Havdalah are a hefsek for one another, and that you don't have to make two Bori Priya Gafen. You don't have to make a Bori Priya Gafen on the Kiddush and a Bori Priya Gafen on the Havdalah. Since you're able to combine them into one case, that shows you there is no hefsek, and the same will be true with Birkat HaMazon. It's like Kiddush and Havdalah don't affect the Bori Priya Gafen, so too, Birkat HaMazon does not affect the Bari Priya Gafen. Tosafot says he doesn't see that as being a compelling argument because Kiddush and Havdalah are very different than Birkat HaMazon. Birkat HaMazon functions as a hefsek. And therefore he offers the alternative and says, V'nira did kedai v'delo tiknu yayin b'lesof, that they didn't put the bracha of yayin at the end. Shmamina delo be hefsek. So you see from that Kiddush and Havdalah are not a hefsek for the yayin. And similar over here, Tua did not be Birkat HaMazon. That means Tua Birkat HaMazon as well. Just like Kiddush and Havdalah are not a hefsek between the bracha of Bari Priya Gafen and the actual drinking of the wine, so too. Birkat HaMazon should not be a hefsek for the bracha on the wine. Velohi. And that comparison of Ravashi is not correct, because hotam akar date mi mishtayo. Over there, he intended to stop drinking. Hachalo akar date mishtayo. Over here, he doesn't leave from his mind the fact that he wants to continue to drink. Therefore, by Yakna, by Kiddush and Havdalah, and he makes the Bari Priya Gafen, his intent is to drink the wine. He always has his mind on the wine. Because by benching is the end of the meal. So that's why you've taken your mind away from drinking and you have to make a bari pri gufin afterwards. By Kiddush Abdullah, it's the beginning of the meal. And by the Kiddush Abdullah, your mind is, you have in mind to drink it. And you have that in mind, and therefore you can overcome some of the other deficits. As the Rashbam points out over here, that the Gemara is telling us that the locha is not like Rav, but rather like that of Mar Zutra or like Rava, because you have a lot of support for that position. Kimata Abdullah, when it came to Abdullah, as the Rashbam points out over here, this is going back to the case of Rabbi Yaakov Bar Abba, who was eating by Rava's house. So when it came for the time for Abdullah there, Kamshameh, his servant got up, Adik Avuka Mishrago. He went ahead and lit a torch or a multi-wicked flame from a shrago, from a candle that was a single wick. Armalay, Lamalakulay Hai. Why is he going to all this trouble to take from a candle and then to put it onto a multi-wick flame, a torch? Ha, mancho shrago, you have the candle right here. Malay, Shama Midati Nafshekovit. He says, the servant acting on his own volition. There's no halakhic ramifications of it. Malay, lo shmiyale minay demar lo avavit. This servant follows only the word of your instruction. If he didn't hear it from you, he wouldn't be doing it. So Malay, lo server lo mar avukal avdala mitzvah nevuchar. Don't you have the opinion that when it comes to Havdalah, then Avuka using a torch is favorable? And that's why I had the shamus or my servant go ahead and light from the candle and bring it over to an Avuka. Patach v'amar, he begins Havdalah now, Rova. Hamavdil ben kosh techol, ben or lechoshech, ben Yisrael amim, ben yom ha-shvi l'shesh yimei ha-maseh. Hamalei, lama lecha kulei hai? Why are you making so many Havdalot in your Havdalah? He simply says, Amavdil ben kosh techol, it's the basic of Avdalah. Amalei, ana kehasvirli. I hold like this opinion. The Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Yoshaya, that apoche lo yifchot migim, if a person is going to say Havdalot and Havdalah, he has to say no less than three. But Mosif lo yusif al zayin, if he's going to add the money, he shouldn't add on more than seven. Tosafot points out over here, it doesn't mean 3, 2, 7. It means either 3 or 7. Either you have to do the minimum or the maximum amount. He says it's obviously connected some sort of reason why they're using 7 and 3 as those numbers. Amarlei, he said back to him, you just said 4 Havdalot. If you look carefully, you said Amavdu ben Korsh Lechol, 1, Ben Or Lechoshech, 2, Ben Yisrael Amim, 3, Ben Yom HaShu Lecheish Yemaseh, 4. So what are you talking about 3 and 7? You did 4. Rav Yaakov Ba'aba asked Rova, Hamar Lo Tlat Amar, you didn't say 3. V'lo Sheva Amar, you didn't say 7. Samlai Ivra, you're right. Ben Yom HaShvi'i, the Sheish Yemaseh, Me'in Chatimahi. Ben Yom HaShvi'i, the Sheish Yemaseh, at the end, is not counted towards Avdalot. That's simply a special phrase or closing phrase that connects to the final statement, which is Brochat HaShem Avdil Ben Kodesh Lechol. And since the conclusion of Avdalah is Avdil Ben Kodesh Lechol, the Ben Yom HaShvi'i, the Sheish Yemaseh, is thematically connected, and that's what we want to end off with. V'amar Yehuda Meshmol, Hamavdil Tzarech Shemar Me'in HaChatimah. Whoever makes Avdalah has to, in their final part of the paragraph or the bracha, say something that's connected to the final or closing bracha. Samucha chatimato, and has to be close to the end of it. Upum pididai amri, and those from Pupadita say me'ain petichatan. Me'ain petichatan, samucha mitan. You have to view what you began with Avdalot towards the closure. And that's actually what happened here as well, which was that he began with Amavdil ben Kosh Lechol, and then he concluded with the Shiyom HaShvi'i L'Sheish Yemaseh. So those are two parallel tracks. Which is that the bracha opens with Amavdil ben Kosh Lechol and ends with Ben Yom HaShvi'i L'Sheish Yemaseh. But in the end, they result in the same thing. Closes with Ben Yom HaShvi'i L'Sheish Yemaseh, which is similar to Amavdil ben Kosh Lechol. And the Gemara says, "My Benayu." Okay, these are two different approaches, but they always result in the same thing. That thematically, the closing line of Abdullah will be similar to the opening line, as well as similar to the bracha. So you can say, Yom Tov Shechol Yotachar Shabbat. The case here where it's different is when Yom Tov falls out after Shabbat. The Chatmina ben Kodesh Lekodesh, because then we don't conclude Amavdil ben Kodesh Lechol, but rather ben Kodesh Lekodesh. Madam Armin Pitichatan, that has to be connected to the opening of that paragraph. Samuch Lechita Matam, that has to be at the end. Lo by the Meimar ben Kedushat Shabbat Kedushat Yom Tov Yivdalta. You don't have to add in this phrase of ben Kedushat Shabbat Kedushat Yom Tov Yivdalta, that you separate between the Kedushat Shabbat and the Kedushat Yom Tov. Mandam Armein Chatimatan, Samoch Lechatimatan, who does say that you need to have their closure be similar to its Chatima. By the Meimar ben Kedushat Shabbat Kedushat Yom Tov Yivdalta, then you do have to add in that phrase so it'll be similar to its Chatima, because the Chatima has been Kodesh to Kodesh. So therefore, ending off with the Ben Avdil ben Yom HaShvi'i L'Sheish Yemei HaMaseh is not thematically connected to Ben Kodesh to Kodesh. Rather, you have to add in something else that makes it, that it has the closure similar to what you have in the concluding bracha. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda Mar Shmuel, says it's Me'ein Chatimatan, then the proper conclusion, if the bracha is Ben Kodesh HaKodesh, is Ben Kedushat Shabbat, Kedushat Yom Tov, Yivdalta. On the other hand, if you require the Chatimah to be connected to the opening statement was Amabdil Ben Kodesh L'chol. And this concluding statement will be Ben Yom HaShvi L'Sheshit Yemei HaMaaseh. So therefore, there'll be no necessity to put in this extra line of Ben Kedushat Shabbat, Kedushat Yom Tov, Yivdalta. Over here, Tosvot brings Shal Rabbi Ephraim et Rabbeinu Tam, Lama Nagu Olom Nosif Lomar, that when we make Abdullah on Motzei Shabbat as leading to Yom Tov, we add even more. Bet Yom HaShvi, Sheshi Mea Maaseh, Kidashta, Yivdalta V'Kidashta Tamcho Yisio B'Kedushatecha. Tein Zeh Lo Me'ein Pticha V'Lo Me'ein Chatima. This new brach or this new thing that you're saying has no connection to the opening line or the closing line. Be'Shiv Lo Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Tam says, Mishom Chipat Hayom. So because of the love of Shabbat, Hirichu Kedei Lomar Pamachat Me'ein Sheva. They lengthened it out, Havdalah in this case, so at least one time we will say seven Havdalot, because in general we would not say seven Havdalot, as we saw before, you only say four Havdalot. So in order that there be a manifestation once in a period of time that it would be this way, when on Yom Tov Shechal Achar Shabbat, there they got a full seven Havdalot in to show our Chavivut of the day, and to show that we can't get to that level of seven. And he counts the seven this way, which is Ben Kodesh L'chol is one, Ben Or L'choshech is two, Ben Yisrael Amim is three, Ben Yom HaShvi L'Sheshit Yemei HaMaaseh is four, which is what we have, Ben Kedushat Shabbat Kedushat Yom Tov Hivdalta, that's number five. And then at Yom HaShvi L'Sheshit Yemei HaMaaseh Hidashta, so that is Kolo Shul Mu'ed D'Shari Devar Aved U'B'Shabbat Asur. So that's the difference in Yom HaShvi M'Sheshi Me'a Maaseh. So now we're up to five.
Because that difference between Shabbat and Kolo Mu'ed and Shabbat and Yom Tov are considered to be one Havdalah.
And then Hibdalta V'Gidashet Amcho Yisrael adds in six and seven. And that's how he gets to the seven, by having these additional lines put in, and that's why he thinks they were inserted here. Again, it would be Ben Kodesh L'chol one, Ben Or L'choshech two, Ben Yisrael Amim three, Ben Yom HaShvi'i L'Sheshit Yemei HaMaaseh 4, Ben Kedushat Shabbat Kedushat Yom Tov Yivdalta,
Ve'et Yom HaShvi'i M'Sheshit Yemei HaMaaseh Kidashta.
Number 5. Number 6 is Yivdalta. Number 7 is V'Kidashta. Yivdalta V'Kidashta Adam Chayisho V'Kedushatecha. Okay, we'll stop over here.